to Uncommon Faith. Today's episode is the start of season two. Can't believe we already have 10 episodes in the bag.
So crazy.
Super awesome.
Today we have Jesse Turner, owner of Father Figure Fitness. He's a single father, a veteran, and can we say the master of all in this one? He does it all.
Jack of all trades works. Definitely a master of many, though. That's for sure.
See, everyone always corrects me on that. All right, Jesse, let's get into it. Tell us about yourself.
There's a lot to tell, that's for sure. So much like you mentioned, I am a father. My son's 6 years old. He was actually born on my birthday, August 22nd. So we share a birthday, which is pretty cool. He was born in 2015, and that was about 6 months just shy of a time frame where I was going through some injuries and surgeries, a lot of which that were residual from my Marine Corps career. I spent almost 10 years in the Marine Corps, got in about 2006, and exited in about 2016, also in the August time frame. Had a few injuries sustained through a lot of the stuff that I went through overseas. One injury in Afghanistan and then one training injury just prior to that deployment that resulted in some spine fractures and then me getting my back fused in 2015. About 9 months after that, had a motorcycle accident, which I'm sure we'll dive a little more into all of that stuff in the future. And a lot of that kind of transitioned me into what I do today as far as being a personal trainer, business owner and stuff. So I've been divorced about 4.5 years and I'm mainly just focusing on the business and all of that stuff from there. So a little bit about me. And then I got this puppy back here somewhere as well, too.
Awesome. He is the cutest. Well, let's get into the military and why you left and what you loved about it. I want to know more about that.
Yeah. What made you join the military? Like, was it to pay for college, to serve your country? Like, what made you want to join?
I guess there was a sense of higher calling at the time, given the age variation. I did grow up in the 9/11 demographic or the 9/11 era. So naturally that higher calling aspect was there. My real father was in the Army. I don't know much about him whatsoever. So that was really no application to my decisions. However, when my mom remarried when I was 11, about to turn 12, my stepdad was a Marine at the time as well. So when they remarried, we were living up in the Bay Area for a few years. They met online. It was like AOL chat rooms or whatnot at that time.
Old school game.
Right. Traveling back and forth to see each other, dating. Aww. They did that for about 1.5 years and then decided to get married. So we moved down to Southern California at that point in time. He was stationed on Camp Pendleton. So I wound up in Oceanside, and that's where everything kind of transitioned from there. Went to high school, or actually went to middle school, almost all of my middle school and all of high school in Oceanside, and decided late my junior year that I was actually going to join the Marine Corps. That wasn't my intentions. I was getting scouted for baseball. That had high hopes at that point in time. But baseball, you're reluctant, if ever, to get anywhere close to a full ride scholarship, at least in that sport. So it wasn't benefiting me whatsoever. Decided to join the Marine Corps to kind of help facilitate that. Late my junior year, did Marine Corps ROTC my senior year, and then, kind of pop smoke and went to boot camp just after graduating. And even my stepdad being a Marine, he was against it at the time. I was about 16 and a half, 17 when I decided, so they had to sign over for me to get permission to do it in the first place. He did it, even though he didn't really care for the idea, but he still supported it nonetheless. So there's that.
So real quick question. Why the Marines out of all branches?
Is that a serious question?
That is a serious question. I, like you, at 17, enlisted in the Navy. I didn't end up going, but I had my reasons for choosing the Navy over any other branch.
I am a tactician at heart. My interests and my skill sets are behind a weapon. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to do it in the Marine Corps. That's for sure. And okay. I did it very well.
That's awesome. And you said you served 10 years?
Yeah, just shy of 10 years.
And ultimately, what is it that took you out?
Ultimately was the injuries. So I was an infantry machine gunner by trade. So I shot big machine guns, carried around an average of about 180 to 220 pounds on top of, at the time, my 165 pound frame everywhere I went. So naturally that causes a lot of wear and tear on the body as it is. Had one training event in Bridgeport, California, where we were doing essentially cold weather survival training. So we were moving everywhere on cross-country skis and snowshoes. Wound up going down on cross-country skis with about 200 pounds on my back. And that wound up giving me a bulging and or ruptured disc at the time. We don't know because I never went in for imaging. It was just back pain at the, again, my generation, my personal ego, and being in the Marine Corps, it's like, oh, fuck it. It's just a back injury. Nobody really cares. You know,
right.
Ibuprofen, change your socks, get back to work. That's kind of how that went down. So I finished that training event, wound up going to Afghanistan, was a up gunner in a truck at one point in time where a truck was struck by an IED. Nobody was severely hurt, nothing crazy, just a disabling strike to the vehicle. And I wound up taking another, come to find out, three fractures from the percussion of that strike. Again, just thinking it was back pain, continued the deployment, went on from there. Go to another training event. We're getting ready to get on the bus. I go to throw a backpack on and passed out. Don't know why, but come to find out later on when I woke up in the hospital that I had a protruding nerve from my spine, or basically a nerve sticking out from the canal from where the ruptured discs were. And just that shock to the brain is kind of what knocked me out. And then found out about all the fractures. Two ruptured discs, completely ruptured discs. And then that's when they told me that I needed my spine fused. That was in 2013. So, yeah, 2011 was the training accident. 2012 during the deployment was the vehicle accident. And then 2013, find out that I needed the spine fused. So naturally, because it's an expensive and thorough surgery, the military, in order to cover it, or at least protocol for the insurance company, is you got to go through all the modalities. So went through injections, went through about 18 months of physical therapy, the whole nine, until they eventually were like, okay, there's absolutely nothing that's going to help you besides fusing it. We knew that from the beginning. We just had to play the goat rope. So we get it fused in May of 2015, had L2 through L5 completely fused, and then vertebras 2, 3, and 4 replaced with rubber discs because they were that far ruptured. And then 9 months later, I get back up. I'm back in the gym. I'm back on the motorcycle. I get hit by a truck. Headed to work at like 4 o'clock in the morning, take 7 more thoracic fractures in the spine, broke 6 ribs bilaterally, so on both sides, collapsed both lungs, lacerated the liver and a damaged kidney, and then broke the shoulder in about 5 places. So resulting from that, to this day, I still have a underdeveloped or underfunctioning lung. I still have spine issues and our spine and alignment issues due to the ribs and the thoracic fractures, and the shoulder was completely reconstructed. That took another 3 surgeries in 2017. So I got certified as a trainer back during the whole spine fusion debacle, because not with the intentions of being a trainer, I did it with the intentions of just taking charge of my own recovery. I just wanted to learn a little more about the body and fitness and stuff. I wasn't a fitness buff at all. Back then, I was military fit as far as conditioning is concerned. I was naturally strong as far as what I carried around and did being a machine gunner. but I wasn't into bodybuilding per se like I am now. That was completely a result of those events. So that's really what got me into training. The motorcycle accident happened. I was already up on a medical review board because of the spinal fusion as far as what the Marine Corps was going to do with me. I had just finished my special duty assignment, which was a three-year assignment as a combat instructor. So I was training the next generations of infantry Marines. I finished up that duty. Motorcycle accident happened, and then I got transferred to what we call Edson Range, or which is Weapons Field Training Battalion. That's essentially where Marines, when they go to San Diego on the West Coast for boot camp, they go up to Camp Pendleton to do their field and marksmanship training. I was the curriculum developer for that. So anything during that four-week period where recruits were up training, I managed and created tests. The schedule for the recruits was bouncing back and forth between San Diego and Camp Pendleton, essentially just developing the curriculum for that portion of boot camp, which was actually a pretty cool job. I don't like clerical work whatsoever, but it's kind of nice having that. It's kind of nice having that opportunity, because a lot of the things that are done to this day, as far as Marine Corps boot camp is concerned, is as a result of what I created back then. So that's kind of cool, knowing that I at least got to leave my thumbprint.
That's awesome.
Because of all that, the Marine Corps felt that I wasn't fit to do my job, so they gave me the options to either get out or what we call lat move, which is essentially changing jobs. And much like I mentioned, I can't stand clerical work, so I decided to leave.
Wow, that's amazing.
Did you have intention of like doing your full 20 and retiring?
Yeah, that was the original plan. The original plan was 20. Like I said, I joined at about 17, so if I executed my full 20 years, I would have retired or at least had a retirement at 37 years old, which not many people could say. Excuse me. So that was the intent. And much like these days when people ask me, and I'm sure you're going to, what got you into training? What got you into this? What got you into that? Usually the way I put it is the last adult decision I ever made was at 16 when I decided to join the Marine Corps. Everything else has been a reaction to events.
It's kind of hard when your plan gets disrupted like that.
It always does.
Were you able to?
Yeah, the plan, at least in the infantry side of the world, we used to say the first thing the wire, referring to when you're overseas or in combat territory, the wire is basically where you're staying. Because it could be a reflection of barbed wire. You may not actually be in a building or a base. It could just be barbed wire. So we refer to it as the wire. But we used to always say the first thing that happens when you leave the wire is the plan goes to shit. And then next to that, the comm goes to shit. Usually radios fail. They'll work just fine until you walk away and then now all of a sudden they don't work. But I am used to every plan I've ever made going to shit at one point or another.
That's the military life, though, I feel.
Hey, it's worked in my marriage. It's been proven right in my marriages. It's been proven right in my fucking businesses. The plan at one point or another.
I guess having that mindset, we used to call it when we would go on mission trips, like being Gumby, being flexible. And we would give that like as an award, the little Gumby.
Yeah. Being flexible, adapt and overcome. Yep. Semper Fidelis is the motto of the Marine Corps, but at least in my world, we used to call it Semper Gumby, as in, because Semper Fidelis stands for always faithful. We used to say Semper Gumby, as in always flexible.
That's funny.
But I think that's a good lesson that the military can teach you, though, is mm-hmm. you know, like, hurry up and wait. Like, we don't, especially like during the beginning of COVID and the quarantine. And like, I'm used to, because my husband is in the Army. I don't know if she told you that. We're used mm-hmm. to, you know, not being able to see our family all the time. We're used to, you know, the government making decisions for us. We're used to, you know, having to wait around and not know what's coming next. So I feel like at least we can be happy that the military has prepared us for such things as COVID and a pandemic.
That's for sure.
I have a question. So through all this, obviously you worked, you kept pushing. What has kept you going? Like, everybody has that one thing that just keeps them going. They don't want to stop. They're going to get through it no matter what. And you have been mm-hmm. through so much. And I want to know, like, what it is that has kept you going.
Right. So we just, you know, kind of touched the surface on all of the bullshit that I've gone through. There's two parts to that answer. One, I don't know. I would say it's an innate trait that I've always had, because prior to 2015, that's when the majority of all of those incidences were taking place. I have no fucking clue what kept me going. I really don't. I would consider myself slightly psychotic in some aspects, because I recall like being in certain situations, which most people would be like, what the fuck? Like, you know, taking indirect fire or being shot at, where like I have a dead ass smile yeah. on my face and I'm running around like, da da da. So
I would call that a little psychotic, yes.
Right. And I'll admit that it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know in that aspect. But the other side of that is my son, for sure. And that's the, you know, we'll call it, you know, the post-apocalyptic era of my career and all the bullshit that right. I went through when he was born, because that's the main thing these days that keeps me going for sure. Especially because in the entrepreneur world, like, having a career in the military was easy because I knew my shit was taken care of. I knew when I was getting paid, whether I did or did not go to work. And the questions were answered. And if it wasn't, there was somebody that could answer it mm-hmm. for me or take care of it. Whereas right. these days, doing it all on my own, living in fucking expensive ass California.
Get out, Jesse!
Right. Living in California is a struggle in its own. Being by yourself in a household and doing it on your own is a struggle in its own. And then you mm-hmm. add in the dynamic of being an entrepreneur, where every day is different. There is no answers to the fucking question. You don't know, you know, if next week I'm going to be broke versus wealthy, because it does, you know, flip flop. So as far as what keeps me going is when I do have those moments or those down moments, it's more so like, my kid may ask, like, can we go do this? Can we go do that? And it may be a moment where I have to say no, just because we can't afford it at the time, or we don't have the time because I got to work. And then the first thing that clicks in the back of my mind is, okay, I got to do this. I got to fucking hustle, because if I don't do this, then I'm going to keep telling him fucking no. And I don't want to tell him no. So that's mainly these days what keeps me going. And I guess tertiary, there's the aspect of like the influence mm-hmm. that I've had on people. That right. know my story, that have seen me go through all of this stuff, because I do know a lot of people that lean on me a lot for certain things, whether it be the educational side or whether it be the motivational side. So that also helps a lot too.
Yeah. I mean, you've been through some stuff. I know I personally ask you questions about the body because of things that I've been through and with me right. healing, and mm-hmm. you've been able to answer that, and that's pretty awesome. I love the fact that you took something so negative, built your body, built yourself, your mind, and figured out what you could do with what you've been through. I think that's amazing. And you haven't stopped. You recently started up a clothing line, correct?
Right.
Let's hear about that.
Yeah, definitely haven't stopped. When you sent me the link to hop on this, I was literally in the process of working on an ebook for training. So that's another thing. You and I haven't talked about that. I didn't write that previously, but that's something coming, or those are some things, a segment, if you will.
What is that?
So ebooks, these ebooks, I'm doing, there's going to be a lot of different versions. Right now I'm working on my training ebooks. So basically it's just an electronic book form of, it could be anything. It could be like the first one that I did is like a 2-page ebook. Well, it's 2-page written out, but when it's all converted, when it's formatted, it's closer to like 6 or 7 pages with a bunch of pictures and stuff like that. Some pop-ups, you know, I did a little animation in there because people like pop-ups. It could range anywhere from like how to, or things to like consider when picking a personal trainer or a coach. That was the first one that I did, to specific workouts and nutrition advice. So this would just be like something that you could purchase online, download, stick it in your back pocket, and have it as a reference forever moving forward. And that's just something to emphasize and scale on my training business. But there is a plan in the future to take a lot of what we're talking about and consuming today and start to put that together as well too, because I want to do more short stories relevant to all of this stuff. But every time I want to sit down to write one of said short stories, something new happens.
Life.
I could turn it into a Netflix series. If oh,
which man.
I may, you know?
I could see that.
The clothing line is something that I've been thinking about and dabbling with for just over 2 years. Met a buddy who lives up in Jose, and he's the owner of Dad Bought Apparel, which these days is a fairly well-known and established clothing line internationally. And he does really well. I like the idea, and I buy a lot of his stuff. I support the shit out of his business even to this day, having my own.
Right.
But one day, because I'm very punny from time to time, him and I were having a conversation, and the words came out of my mouth. I said, "Dad bods are for deadbeats. Real men have father figures."
I like that.
Being the presence of a actual father, but a fit, not having a sloppy, lazy dad.
Yeah.
The idea for that fueled for two reasons. One, because my social media has become more popular and prevalent because of the fatherhood side, and what I post and what I get involved with on that side, that's actually what gets me the most feedback, next to personal training and the comedic raunchy shit that I post.
We're gonna need an explicit on this episode, Ash.
Oh,
great.
Oh yeah, I got it. We're already there. Thanks, Jesse. Beginning of season two, it's explicit.
No.
But that's a lot of the things that I was getting the most feedback on, so it kind of fueled the idea of, I have a platform for fathers, or just parenting in general, because I try not to lean in one direction hard. I try to keep things as general as possible. So with that being said, and having that inside joke, punny joke that I had mentioned with him, I was like, oh, I'm gonna put that on a shirt. That turned into, well, let's make it a clothing line. And originally, when I started planning it over the last 2 years, I was going to do just a men's full spectrum athleisure clothing line. Athleisure referring to both athletic and daily leisure wear. But because I don't like leaning hard into one direction, I added in women's apparel. That took some adjusting on the logos and stuff like that. And then I also added in some youth. So instead of just making it a straight up fatherhood line, that is the main premise still. Right. And that's where my marketing stems from. But it is to include the family aspect as well, because there would be no father without the family. So.
I like that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
leave California?
She knows. That's been the plan for like the last 6 years. Hey, if it was up to me, so that's going to dip the toe into another aspect of, you know, my history. But if it were up to me, as soon as I took off the uniform and left the Marine Corps, I would have left California. That was back in 2016, if it were up to me. Unfortunately, it wasn't. My son's mom, born and raised in the area, she never wanted to leave California pre-COVID. Fortunately, COVID has actually turned out to be somewhat of a blessing because of two reasons. One, if it wasn't for COVID, I wouldn't have started these businesses and actually, you know, got as involved with this stuff as I have. And two, it might get me out of California. So my ex-wife, we have actually entertained the idea of leaving California the last about year or so. She's actually open to the idea. At first, it was a matter of where. So we were leaning towards Arizona, where I'm from, Texas, because she has some family there, and then the like border Kansas, Missouri, Kansas City area, essentially, because her middle son, he has family there. So she wanted to essentially be, she has two other kids, not mine, but she has two other kids that she wanted to factor in their overall livelihood. So 2020, COVID struck. That shit ain't putting me down. So I traveled. We were talking about leaving. So I went to Texas twice to start exploring the area. Went to Kansas City twice to start exploring the area. Caught COVID while I was in Kansas City. That sucked because I lost taste and smell. So I spent my entire vacation either driving around by myself. I have actually friends and former military or service members in the area, but I had to cancel plans. So I spent my time either driving around by myself or in my hotel room. Missouri, Kansas City specifically is well known for its barbecue. I got screwed because I lost taste and smell. It wasn't a complete waste of a trip because I at least got to explore and have some fun, but essentially it was a waste of a trip. Kansas City is out the window. Texas is out the window because her oldest is getting ready to graduate next year. She's going to move to Texas anyways. So Texas is out the window. So now, Arizona's basically our main focus. If we do move at all, and that's cause I got family there and my ex-wife's current boyfriend, he is getting ready to retire and he wants property in Arizona. So naturally it kind of just works out for us. He might prove to be.
Which part of Arizona?
I don't know. Collectively, that'll be something we decide on, but more so in what we call the East Valley area. So Glendale, Gilbert, Phoenix, Surprise, Scottsdale, essentially around that territory. So, I mean, that covers a lot of space. But as far as I'm concerned, we'll kind of decide on where we might go if we do wind up going out there. And then I'll probably pick a spot for myself that's within like an hour of her.
That's awesome. Yep. Get out while you can, man.
trust me, I hate this place. For the viewers
it's
cool to visit. I say to all the viewers out there, don't move here. It's definitely not all that it's cracked up to be. It's expensive for no reason. It costs money to just walk outside. I used to say it's a cool place to visit, and in all honesty, I've traveled a lot. It's not any better than any other place to visit.
It's not at all. It's actually very dangerous
The only benefit, I would say, even if I did move, one thing that I miss is where I live, I'm centrally located to anything you would ever want to do. So I'm in Southern California. I live in a city called Redlands, which is essentially, it's in San Bernardino County, but I am exactly an hour from the beach, an hour from the mountains, and an hour from Palm Springs. So I can do absolutely anything, any time of the day. So I could go to the beach, I could snowboard, and I can go party in Palm Springs all in the same day if I really wanted to.
But it's like the reality of it. Does it ever happen? Probably not.
But, and
yeah, I mean, you do have to deal with the traffic. That's more than a day.
That question, yes, it does happen. I've done it before. I've dropped my son. I've dropped my son off at school. I drove up to Big Bear. I snowboarded for about 3-4 hours. I came down, I picked him up from school. We went to the beach and spent about 2 or 3 hours at the beach. And then we drove back out to Temecula. We didn't go to Palm Springs, but we went to Temecula, which is like a nice, like old town vibe and stuff like that.
Close enough.
And had dinner out there. So it was a collective of like 5-6 hours worth of driving that day. It probably cost me between gas, food, snowboarding. It was probably like a $500-$600 day. But it was fun though.
Goodness, this sounds like a challenge. Are you ready, Ash?
Yeah, so we actually just were out there a couple weeks ago. My brother-in-law lives in San Juan.
Okay.
And my grandparents live in Temecula. So we flew into LA, went over to have lunch with my grandparents, and then came back. But yeah, I mean, it's completely different down there than like going up to the desert, because that mm-hmm. place is a crap hole. It's a crap hole. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. And at this point now, driving down the street, I was like, oh yeah, that place is where there was a guy with a machete. And oh, there was a murder there that just happened. They just had a shooting like within a month, two shootings at the mall. And I'm like, so we can't go to the mall. Can't go to
right.
movies.
Temecula area is like the California version of Nashville, or the California's like poor attempt at Nashville.
No comparison. None.
Have you been to Nashville yet, Jesse?
Unfortunately, yes. It's a little too wild for my taste. Sorry.
It's too wild.
Too wild for Mr. Explicit.
There's a song about that.
Hey, look, my magic worked.
There's a few songs. Right.
Okay. That, yeah, if you're on Broadway, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you gone outside of Broadway?
No, but I keep, so like I got a friend that just moved out to Franklin, and I hear a lot of good things and stuff like that from the surrounding areas in general.
That's really.
Yeah.
But
that's,
yeah.
Awesome. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Nashville. I don't hate Vegas. Honestly.
I hate Vegas.
You what?
I hate Vegas. I hate Scottsdale, which is Arizona's version of Vegas. Mm. And I kind of got that same vibe in Nashville as well, too. So,
we'll see.
I'm done. Goodbye, Jesse.
Our first trip together out there. Yes. I mean, it's good when you want like something to do. You're like, well, if nothing else happens, we know that we can go to Broadway and hear music. But we like.
True.
We went off to like, you know, the Listening Room Cafe. We did, was it Country Music Hall of Fame? Even though I hate country music.
We did the adult things, not the party things.
Yeah, like we...
See, and that's my... But that's exactly my point. Now, granted, had I gone out there and been shown that aspect, then yeah. I would speak differently. So naturally, when I say, okay, got it. When I say Nashville, as far as the negative connotation of referring to like the Broadway.
All right, my door is open, Jesse. Let's be clear.
Oh, shit. You know, hey, we've been talking about this for a long time. A long time.
Let's I'm gonna make go. It happen. I'll show you country life, the real country.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna make it happen.
They've
better wear a Carhartt beanie for no reason.
No, I don't.
I think that there's just like there's more mountains, but like we just moved here a couple years ago from Georgia, and I mean I really liked it there, and that was just kind of the same with California. Like we were 3 hours from Orlando, and so we were right by beaches, but then we could go like, you know, more inland and hit up like the mountains and stuff. So like that area is a lot better too, and it's way more green than the desert. And so even coming back to Colorado, I was like, it's too brown here. Ugh.
Yeah, I spent 2 years stationed in Washington, and that was pretty it was kind of 50-50. Like, there's some aspects where I'm like, this was really cool, and then there were some aspects where I'm like, this is fucking dumb.
Like, was all the rain? Do you have a lot
honestly
of rain?
I didn't really mind the rain much. Yeah, I mean, yes, it did rain a lot, and I didn't really mind it that much, though.
I feel like I'd be super like impressed.
I'm not willing to let see, and that's my thing, is I'm not the one that lets, like, people or the weather or whatever, like, kind of contradict or change how I feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, cool, it's raining. This sucks, but I'm going to make the best of it. It is what it is. But I've had the it is what it is mentality since I was a child. So.
Well, I'm not like that. I get that seasonal depression. Like, I need sunshine. And apparently I need green too. Like, if I look out there and I'm like, oh, brown dirt. Ugh.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I love it. I love the season. I love the rain.
Minus tornadoes. Right.
Well, in that case, next time you come out this direction, I'm going to send you and your husband some recommendations for, like, stargazer Airbnbs out in, like, Joshua Tree and stuff like that. I'm going to change your aspect on the desert a little bit.
Well, I mean, I've gone out to my last desert would have been I went out to Tucson to record. And
that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. Count. Okay. It was very deserty.
Yeah, like have Tucson, you guys? Yuma. Like, Yuma is like our California version, or like California's version would be like Bakersfield or like Yucca Valley. So, like, Yucca Valley, as an example, is a military town because we have 29 Palms out there, and yeah. That's like where it's nothing but bars and tattoo shops. So, like, Tucson, Yuma, like, they kind of sit that same direction where Joshua Tree is next door to Palm Springs, so it's a little more upscale. It's like Orange County in the desert.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you ever been, since you like being out in the middle of the desert and stargazing, have you ever been to that house? And I'm not sure where it is. It might be like a little bit past Lancaster, but it's a house that's made out of completely like mirrors. So when you're driving to it, you can't tell what it is. So flipping cold. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but I haven't been there.
No. I want to go. I know it's like an hour away from my mom's house, so maybe that's what I'll do next time.
For sure. Sounds like a good trip.
All right, Jesse. Is there anything you want to add?
Well, hold on. I have questions. Do I need to do my little raise my hand? I have something to say. I want to know what was going through your mind when that IED struck your vehicle.
I'm trying to find the Netflix version of explaining this.
I didn't know there's Netflix versions to explain things. Okay.
Well, PG-13 wouldn't be a realistic description because there's nothing PG about it. But now, one thing is I'm an intuitive individual, and I've, in almost every firefight or experience that I was in, at least in Afghanistan, I kind of felt prior to it happening. One of those, like, oh shit, something's about to pop off kind of thing. Driving down this road, we were coming back into our base, so we were half a mile. Give or take away from being back in safe space, which is common to get hit at those point in times, basically when you're leaving and exiting, because as soon as you exit, somebody's going to come around behind you and plant some shit in the dirt. And that's normal. It's expected. Mm-hmm. So I remember coming back and noticing a setup of rocks, not like stacks, but like an alignment of rocks on the side of the road that I didn't remember seeing when we left. And there was probably 3 hours in between the time that we left to the time that we came back, or at least close to 3 hours. And I remember seeing this alignment of this setup of rocks. And I was just like that. And as soon as the thought like that doesn't, I don't remember that being there crossed my mind, I was like, I threw my hands up. And then as soon as I threw my hands up, it cooked off right underneath the truck. Right. And I had this little chain attached to my gear that's basically holding me inside the vehicle for these specific moments so that I don't fly out of the turret. And I remember basically flying up as the front of the vehicle lifted and then came back down because it took off the front axle and some of the front end. So the truck just kind of sank down into the ground. So as it jerked, I came up and then it was the pressure of the seat or that attachment pulling down on my gear. And it basically slammed me back down into the truck. And that pressure is what ruptured the disc. Thinking back on it, I didn't know that at the time, but thinking back on it, that's the way that that went down. So it hurt. I remember screaming a vast amount of obscenities that I'm going to let go for now. And then we did a quality check for everybody, or what we call a sit rep, but we basically, a situational report kind of checked on everybody. Everybody was good. The truck was destroyed. We weren't going nowhere. So then we call in to come get picked up. But second to that, I remember taking a piece of metal off the helmet. And that's what I was thinking about for a little while because I remember seeing it fly up off the truck and I watched it basically strike the front of my helmet. And much like I had mentioned earlier, there was some psychotic slash sadistic moments where I caught myself smiling. And that was one of those moments because I was playing back, like my back hurt. We were in a dumb situation. But the only thing I was playing back was watching that piece of metal fly. And I was laughing because I actually like tracked it the whole way. And that's mainly what I was thinking about the most was just watching this piece of metal, you know, cover like 15, 20 feet and strike me in the helmet. I think I was more so just impressed that I was able to like pick, like notice it and track it the whole way in.
And like, then I was it like all slow motion?
It was. And that's why I kept thinking about it because I'm like, why didn't you duck? And I'm like, but it was going too fast. I'm like, but if you've seen it, it wasn't going that fast. Having this random conversation with myself. But there was a handful of other moments overseas like that. Yeah.
Is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew then?
Wish I knew then as far as what? Back then in the Marine Corps, back then during that specific incident? Because there's a...
Kind of as a whole, like knowing that obviously all the things that you've gone through and how it has made you the man that you are now and has given you that motivation, to just keep going. What would you tell yourself? Like what do you wish you knew then from now that maybe you could just kind of just implant in your brain?
In all honesty, there would be, right? It's like if you could go back and meet your 18-year-old self, what would you tell them? Or, you know, whatever the case may be. Nothing. And I know that sounds weird to say. Like, I'm sure your listeners are going to be like, there's got to be something. Like, rattling off their head. Tell their childhood self and nothing. And the reason I say nothing is because the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing and I am who I am is because I had the discipline and the wherewithal to keep pushing even as a child. And that's something that was already innate. That's something that, like, if I were to give myself advice, I'd basically be like, yeah, just keep the faith because everything's going to work out. But I had that same idea, not from a religious standpoint like I do now. So I guess that would be one difference. I'm way more in tune with my faith now than I was back then. So I guess that's probably something that I would, you know, tell my younger self. But in all honesty, it wouldn't be anything that I didn't already know back then. Like, just keep pushing. Shit's going to work out. It always does. You could never in your life predict that I'd be sitting around at 30 plus years old and have under my belt multiple near-death experiences, more so to include a motorcycle accident that I legitimately, between four doctors, two EMTs, and everybody else that has any medical experience, tell me that I should not have survived. So that thought looms and lingers in the back of my mind mm-hmm. constantly. And there's nothing in this world that can prepare you for some shit like that. So, but I guess just that innate distinction between keep pushing would probably be the only thing. Patience would probably be one, actually, I guess, that I would suggest to myself back then. That would have prevented a lot of things. I'd sit my ass down and be like, dude, calm down, be a little more patient. Because I rushed a lot.
That's something I still struggle with to this day. I am like the mm-hmm. worst at being patient.
Goodness.
Ugh. You think, you know, I like how you're like 30 plus years. All of us in our 30 plus years. Yeah, some of us are not as patient. You'd think we would have learned that.
This thing sitting behind me reminds me every day that I still got some.
Well, I love the fact that you brought up your faith. Because I don't know if a lot of people know where you stand on that. But everything that you have been through, it's like you have a purpose for everything, right? God knows what you're going to go through before you go through it. He knows how you're going to react before you react. And for me, if she had asked me that question, it would have just been, you know, knowing that everything is happening for a reason in that moment. I don't know. I think it's awesome that we can rely on that, and I'd love to know a little bit more about your faith and where you stand.
Nah, that's a newfound development over the last couple of years. It took, like I said, multiple near-death experiences, two divorces, a kid, a puppy, and a few businesses to finally get me in tune with that. These days, and your viewers are going to love this one, at least coming from a masculine perceptive, but I'm very in tune with my synchronicities these days. I would not say I'm a like religious person whatsoever because I haven't stepped foot in a church since I was about 8 years old. And it's not that I refuse to, or I have anything against it. It's just in my experience, I pay attention to all of the little details. I know that the church is very, very, very full of hypocritical individuals. And I see it a lot, especially with social media, you know. People come into church and their phone comes up immediately and it's here. Let me take a little picture or boomerang so I could show everybody yeah. that I'm in church. And then they fail to forget that people still know them in real life.
Yeah.
And the type of thing.
I mean, I don't necessarily know if that's the church or that's just humans. We are all humans.
No.
Right?
a lot of churches in California too.
Correct.
I have heard that.
I think. I would never put that on the church. I would never blame that on the church whatsoever. But me personally, I can't sit in the same building knowing that there's those types of people sharing
right.
that with me. You know what I mean?
Right. That's
and super distracting.
And that, right. and that so makes absolute sense.
I'm more in tune with I'm involved in my faith because it's my faith and not somebody else's mm-hmm. faith. I don't have to go show that or broadcast mm-hmm. it to I'll still post about it from time to time, quotes here and there, prayers here and there. It is what it is. But, and as far as like the universe is concerned and day-to-day science and stuff like that, like shit pops up now where I'm like, actually I'll use an example, the biggest synchronicity in my fucking life. August 22nd is my birthday. It is also my son's birthday. Since he was born, I see 8:22 on the clock, both AM and PM, flawlessly every day without question. And every time I say that to people, I'll specifically like text them at 8:22 every day, just to kind of sink it in where it's like, I legitimately see this. So that's my angel number. It is what it is. But anytime like little things like that happen, I'm kind of like, okay, I see it. Or, you know, hear something on the radio or something comes up that I was recently talking about that, you know, you couldn't predict. It's just, you know, shit happening. Life taking its path the way that it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And anytime it does, I'm kind of like, if I'm driving, I'm kind of like, all right, I see you. And it's just one of those like, all right, cool.
See, whatever I think you got, man, let it happen.
Right.
It's
let's go.
So for like Ashley and I know we stand on the same page. And for us, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. Right. And I feel like that's a big issue that a lot of people come across. People are more about religion and doing things a certain way based off of tradition.
Or a certain reason and what they get in return from it, right?
Right. And for us, it's about a relationship that we've built with Christ. And it's mm-hmm. it's pretty awesome when you look at it from that standpoint and just, you know, you realize that the only reason you are here is because of him.
Yeah, the motorcycle accident made that very, very, very apparent.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, the day after I woke up in the hospital and the EMT came to visit me, which doesn't fucking happen ever.
No.
He walked through the door and he's like, yeah, I was the EMT. He was in regular clothes, but he was like, I was the EMT that responded to your accident. And my very first thought was, fuck me. I was like, I must have been messed up for you to come check on my well-being after the fact. So, and then, like I said, sequence of events, everything's kind of transpired in the direction that it's headed. And I think back to that all the time. I'm like, look, there was a purpose. I'm here for a reason. Unfortunately, it took the man hitting my stubborn ass with a fucking truck to kind of sink that in.
He said, Jesse, pay attention.
he was like, homie, like, I'm trying to tell you, but you're not listening.
Let me take you out real quick. Oh, goodness.
I was gonna say that's what's great about, you know, we've all, you know, all three of us have been through really horrible things, and looking back and seeing how God is redeeming those things, you know, like just the trickle effect of how you have helped other people. Like, do you think if those accidents happen and all those things, like, you would be in the position that you are now?
Not even a little bit. I'd probably be a fucking heathen if none of that happened.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just curious. I'm really good at checking my own energy, and I have my days where I'm like, whoa, let's go ahead and put that one away really quick.
I think Ashley and I are going to keep you in check now.
Right. If it wasn't for the last 5 years, if it wasn't for the last 5 years, then I'd be a completely different person. Completely. I'd still be in the Marine Corps. Actually, no, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't be getting no fucking vaccine. That's for sure.
Yes.
We're not one alone. I don't want your view.
We'll leave COVID right alone. Put over there.
Yeah, but I'd be a completely different person, in all honesty. So, like, I was a faithful child by principle growing up. That's how my family was. I went on my own way, became the black sheep, and kind of outcasted everything from there, and then slowly came back to it, or not slowly, abruptly. But you know, it is.
How would your family describe you growing up?
My mom.
We're giving him like deep questions here.
Yeah. Hey, it's like my. We'll cover this here in a little bit, but it's like my TikTok, the beard stroking thought of the day. We will in a minute.
Want to throw your TikTok out there real quick?
So
I'm done.
Get my train of thought back. How would my family describe me today? My mom always knew I was going to be successful in something. Nobody knew what it was. That's why she was kind of thrown off when I decided to join the Marine Corps. I've always been a seat of my own pants, beat of my own drum type individual. I'm probably the only person in the family, period, that would ever get away with talking back to my mom. Not that I do it. But there's times where it's like she may make a suggestion where I'm just going to be like, nah, sorry, mom, I love you, but I'm going to do it my way. I don't like the term black sheep because black sheep has a negative connotation because it's usually like the kid that, like these days, it's used more commonly in like the younger 20s, mid 20s generations that are like, I'm just getting drunk and partying and doing whatever type black sheep of the family. But I like the term in the aspect of like, I went off and did my own thing. I'm the only one that left the house in my teen years. My brother and sister didn't until they were just barely in their, or just in their 20s. I got away as soon as possible. I've been doing everything my own way, with zero influence from anybody. So my family would describe me as independent and successful. In all honesty, they would probably use some other variants of explanations to that, but I have upheld the expectations of what everybody thought I was going to do, one aspect or another.
Question: are you the middle child by any chance?
Yeah, of course I'm the middle child. Represent.
I was gonna say this sounds a little like middle child syndrome.
Oh, that's exactly.
I think we all are.
What's that?
I'm not the middle child.
Oh, you are not. You're the baby.
No, I'm the baby.
Nobody likes the baby.
You got all the attention.
Besides mom.
Otherwise, you got away with murder.
Besides mom.
I didn't get away with murder.
Nobody likes the baby.
No.
So nice, guys. Jesse, what did your parents like, I know you said you haven't gone to church since you were 8, but like what religion were you kind of raised as?
Either like churches that I remember going to were either specific Christian or non-dom. So that's essentially what I was raised around. That's still what I claim today. I would say I lean more towards non-dom than anything. And that's just because I've also traveled the world and seen other aspects of different religions and everything that have kind of not influenced, but you connect the dots because you realize even in amongst a lot of other religions that the premise is the same. It's taught differently. It's interpreted slightly differently, but the premise is the same in believing in a higher power, essentially. So, yeah.
For those a little confused, non-dom is non-denominational.
Right.
Sorry, just have to clarify. We're like, yeah, non-dom. Yeah, non-denominational.
That's true. I guess in like the non-binary fucking 30 different, you know, never mind. We're going to leave that one alone. But in this generation.
I won't touch on that.
That's going to sit over here with COVID.
I'm just going to, we'll have a box.
Right.
I can a box of, another thing, you know. In other news. Oh my goodness. So your son, he's 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the best thing you've ever done?
I had sex. Yeah, that's kind of one.
You set yourself up for that. Oh my goodness.
I forget that I'm not talking to your mom.
Making babies. Yes.
Got it. Is what I ever okay. Did. Yeah. Okay, let me clarify my question here. Okay. I'm gonna rephrase. Okay. Jesse, your 6-year-old child, is he the best thing that has ever happened to you in your life?
By far. Gosh. By far. All right, so especially because you have a dominant female following, I'm assuming. I'm gonna put you all on game real quick.
Oh.
Men are passion driven. I don't give a shit who you talk to. Men are passion driven. Until a man finds his passion or purpose, he has zero direction whatsoever. He's going to be as inconsistent as humanly possible because everything's going to be lost and misguided. So as far as a man's growth is concerned, he needs purpose or something he's passionate about. My son was that for me. Hence the clothing line, hence what my involvement in the community and what I do on social media as a public figure and such. He was that for me. Again, getting out of the Marine Corps and like back-to-back fucking near-death experience and stuff like that, there was no purpose. I had zero clue in what was going to happen from there. Now, granted, the accidents kind of created purpose for me because that's what made me get more involved in personal training. I got out of the Marine Corps and was like, well, what do I do now? So I decided to go to school for physical therapy because that's what I was most passionate about. And then he was born. And then when I felt myself break in a positive way, that kind of put everything into alignment, put purpose into alignment. He's literally... the only person walking this planet that would ever influence my energy, both positive and negatively. That's a lie. There's a lot of people that affect my energy negatively. But yes, he's by far the best thing that's ever happened to me. That's for sure.
And the sex was a bonus.
Actually, he was the bonus. The sex had to occur.
I do have another question, though. I did catch you say something earlier, and you and I have had conversations before, and I knew you were married once, but I did not know you were married twice.
I've been pluralizing this the entire time. I've been married twice. So I was married the first time young when I first got into the Marine Corps. And this was kind of like my impulse childhood. Because the woman I married first was a girl that I had a crush on all throughout high school. She was dating the same dude for like 8 years. I was stationed in Washington for 2 years, got orders to go back down to Camp Pendleton. I knew she was still in the area. She actually happened to be dating the same dude still, but they were on the fritz. This was during the transition from like Black Page to MySpace, and I hit her up on MySpace. Threw her up on my fucking top 16 at the time. And things just kind of went from there. But lo and behold, that didn't work out due to some extracurricular activities while I was gone and away in my military experience.
Which is
so that ended. No harm, no foul. Right. No harm, no foul, you know, fucking split part ways and things went from there. No kids, nothing crazy. So that was smooth. However, again, because I was young and impulsive, now keep in mind, we're talking about prior to my son. So this is kind of giving you a little more insight on your previous question as to what I would have been prior to all of this stuff going on in my life. I rushed into my second marriage. My son's mom and I met while we were both simultaneously going through a divorce, started dating before the ink was dry on the paper, and then were married about a year later. He was born about 2 years later. The dust kind of settled, and I found myself more infatuated than in love, and things went from there. Now, we did the whole marriage therapy thing, our couples therapy thing. And then I even had my my moments with somebody else on the way out of the marriage as well, too. So there's that. But yeah, was married twice. However, my son's mom.
Would you ever get married again?
I was actually going to kind of lead into that. My son's mom and I have a fucking great co-parenting relationship. We literally communicate on a daily basis. We help each other out on a daily basis. In fact, there's been even moments where like her curb boyfriend and I have gone out for fucking drinks. She'll fly wingman for me if I needed her to, you know, just stuff like that. So we have a good relationship just because we understand the – the foundation of the marriage at a whole. We're both fucking adults and mature enough to kind of admit where things went wrong and whatnot. So it's good for now. Would I get married again? I have my days. I used to say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed coming out of the second divorce, that, yeah, I'm down to get married again, but it would have to be like some borderline fairy tale type shit in order for it to happen, where I'm fully confident in getting involved again. I've dated a few since that divorce, but every woman that I've been serious with since that divorce has cheated as well. So it kind of puts, especially these days, and don't get me wrong, shit happens and I get both sides do it. I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. If you're at fault, you're at fault regardless of what hangs or doesn't hang between your legs. I'm still open to the idea of doing it again.
I might need a t-shirt.
put that in notes for later. Make a t-shirt on that one. I'm still open to the idea, but the thing is like this generation is fucked. It is fucked to include people of our age and caliber, because one of two things that I notice is either there's a lot of role reversal. Women are more in touch with their masculine side and playing the guy card, not wanting to be involved or get serious or whatever, because they may have a track record of being hurt and damaged in the past. So a lot of that's starting to reflect. Whereas men these days are becoming more in tune with their feminine side. And then the women that do want to date, they're like, why can't I find a fucking guy that da 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 da? You know, whatever. That's just, it's the generational curse. I think it's a big role reversal right now, where women are acting more masculine and men are acting more feminine. So therefore, that polarity in a relationship is fucking gone. And yeah. So there's that, but I would.
Would you have more kids?
Yeah, I want a girl. Girls are
a little crazy.
I don't give a shit. I know they are. Trust me, I deal with y'all on a daily basis.
Oh, goodness. Don't give him ammunition. He will take it all the way. No, girls are not crazy. They're good. Yes, yeah. They're nice.
But they are. Like my TikTok that I posted last night was the saying, where the devil fails, he sends a woman.
Oh, I'm a nice girl.
Look, we're trying to find your next wife for you over here, but I don't know. She might be running.
See, here's it. Shit. Hey, I would love. Are you? They got to be open to moving to California, because there's a chance that I may not be able to move.
Let me write this all down.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to just say, like, every time we have a single person on here, we're just going to have like a, you know, like, okay.
A checklist.
Yeah. A little checklist. Okay. This person.
No, the thing is all jokes aside, like I said, I'm still open to the idea and I still have faith that it could happen. You know, I run into one or two from time to time, and it may be via social media, that live in a different state or whatever, where I'm like, look, I see that there's something out there somewhere, right. Possibilities there. How confident am I in where I live and what I'm surrounded by? Fucking not at all. Not even in the littlest bit. But there's that though too. And there's also like what I do becomes an issue for some as well too. Working in the health and fitness industry and being a personal trainer, that becomes a insecurity issue for a lot. Much like I mentioned, I just run across a lot of women that still have their grievances from past relationships. And insecurities is a big thing that I come across, which I have my own from time to time. Mm-hmm. But another saying, like I mentioned earlier, I'm really good at checking my own energy, and I'll call myself out when I'm fucking up, and I'll straight up be like, hey, look, I'm being insecure right now about this, or like a fight may transpire. And I'm like, look, that's not on you. That's on me. I'm like, I'm playing these scenarios out in my head that I need to work out. That has nothing to, like, there's no real conversation that needs to be had between us. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you. That's just something that I'm working over in my head. Mm-hmm. So I'm quick to call myself on my own shit.
That's rare.
However, it is. It is, because another saying that I live firmly by is every woman loves to be held until it's accountable.
We're getting deep now. My goodness.
That one's a,
that's right. A good one. Write it down.
Oh, it's on TikTok. Don't worry. You'll find it.
Okay.
Beard stroke and thought of the day. Every woman loves to be held until it's accountable.
That's funny.
Goodness.
Should I put that one on a shirt too for you? I'll send you that one fucking for free.
I'm still waiting for my hat, Jesse.
The beanie?
I ordered a red and white hat and somebody canceled the order on me.
I had to. I'm sorry. Because you prematurely ordered in my fucking, the website ain't ready days. So I'm going
to
do
that. Yeah, I was trying to support ahead of time.
So what I need you to do is I need you to go follow the clothing Instagram at FF_fitnessapparel. And that's on Instagram. And then go ahead and DM me on there and I will place the order for you. Or you can go directly to the website at fatherfigurefitness.shop.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
And if either of that becomes confusing and you don't know where to find it, or you just want some more beard stroking thoughts of the day, you can go ahead and follow my personal Instagram at savage_fittician. That's FITICIAN. Or my TikTok, Oh Bearded One.
Oh Bearded One.
Oh Bearded One. O-H-H Bearded One. The word one. I think that covers all these.
It's a lot. It's a lot of.
It is. I also got the Facebook pages and everything like that too, but we'll leave that alone for now. You'll find the links and like everything's linked inside, especially my personal page. Personal Instagram page. So you follow there, you'll have everything you need to know.
Awesome. We might have to have a follow up on a whole little relationship segment here. Check back on you. Finding Jesse his third wife. We got this.
Man, the amount of stories we could cover.
I mean, that probably would be fun to do, like a single parent, but like from the guy's point of view.
The guy's point of view. Yeah, because we always hear the girls complain and all their drama.
I was
going to
say, my TikTok covers a good majority of that. Most of the beard stroking thoughts of the day are relevant to dating in women.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to do a part two. We'll set that up.
I'm down.
You down for hanging out with us again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much. But let's do it one more time so that people, if they didn't catch it before, they can get it again. Where can we find you, Jesse? On the gram. Insta.
So, right. So my personal Instagram is at savagefittician. That's savage_fittician. That's spelled FITICIAN. And then there's also my store's Instagram page, which is FF_fitnessapparel. The company's called Father Figure Fitness Apparel. Or you can go directly to the website itself at fatherfigurefitness.shop. And then I also have my TikTok, which is more just for entertainment purposes. There's nothing business related on that yet. I might start a separate business related TikTok in the near future, but that is OBeardedOne. As in O-H-H Bearded One. And I'm sure you can probably just search my name, Jesse Turner, on there and you'd be able to find it anyways. So look for the one with the big, beautiful beard.
And Amber, where can we find you?
You guys can find me at Adonia, A-D-O-N-I-A, _by_Amber at Instagram. And where can they find you?
I like to tease her every single episode that she has a complicated Instagram.
It used to be easy.
Huh?
It needs to be easy.
It used to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, there's too many underscores.
Especially for this shit, because now you got people replaying your podcast like 3 or 4 times just to, with a notepad next to it, just to try.
A, D, oh crap, I missed it. Come back. N, I.
Right. 1 hour, 15 minutes, and 30 seconds in, you'll find Amber's handle just in case you.
All right, y'all.
Okay, all right. I'm out. You can find me at Ashley.Reed. Or Ashley Reed Music. And then you can find us at Uncommon Faith Podcast. And you can email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Easy peasy.
All right, we're going to do something to where I have all the listeners pick my next Instagram name.
Oh, yeah, ooh. Maybe we should do that.
That'd be a good one.
Well, yes.
I'm going to suggest a few.
You are not.
I already have a list.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Oh, I already have all two. Right. We're going to leave that alone, though.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Wait, what I miss right now? Hold on.
You're good. There's nothing. I did.
I said when I'm editing. I don't know. All right. Thanks again, Jesse, for being on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Till next time. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys. Sorry. Wait. Sorry. Go ahead. Do it again.
Till next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.